you were with us in Bible study this past Wednesday night, we had a wonderful time in Bible study, and so many of you showed up. I was just very encouraged, amen, to know that the people of God are hungry for the Word of God. And so we did this study on this past Wednesday night on the type of prayer that God answers, because I believe that if ever there were a time we needed to pray, that time is now with all that's happening around our nation and in this land. And many of you have situations that are happening in your lives that you haven't been brave enough to tell anybody about. But I know that all of God's people need to be well acquainted with the power of prayer. Amen. And so I said that we would finish because I only got to the first part of the study on Wednesday night, and I said we'd finish it on next month's study, but I decided to just go ahead because some of y'all ain't gonna come. Amen. And deal with the rest of that on today, the type of prayer that God answers. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, there is a word from the Lord. And if I sound a little winded today, I drank something in the office there before church that I shouldn't have drank. An energy drink. An energy drink. Y'all looking at me crazy. Amen. It was an energy drink. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. There you'll find these words. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and to confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandedest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The type of prayer that God answers. Now, on Wednesday night, I suggested to you that if there is a type of prayer that God answers, we're left to but conclude that there is also a type of prayer that God does not answer. And I've told people before, because I've had experiences where people were angry with somebody and they saw fit to pray not for them, but pray on them. Amen. And sometimes we get mad and we ask God to do stuff to our enemies and to our haters. God, let them fall. Let them break their leg. Let them lose their job. Sometimes you get mad enough, you say, let them die. Don't y'all get all holy on me now. Amen. But I had to remind that particular person, and I need to remind you that God does not answer those types of prayers. And you ought to be glad that he doesn't. Because whereas you think you're the only one praying for somebody, amen, to slip and fall or die, amen, you got some folk praying the same kind of stuff on you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he doesn't answer those types of prayers. The reason he doesn't answer those types of prayers is because we are all his children. I said we're all his children. Amen. And so we have to remember that if there are types of prayers that God answers, there are also types of prayers that he doesn't answer. On Wednesday night, I used a real big word. The word is anthropomorphism. And in this particular text, we find the writer using anthropomorphisms to describe God in hearing his prayer. Because an anthropomorphism is when you give human-like qualities to God. An anthropomorphism is when you give physical characteristics to God. And we've got to remember that God is not a human. God is not a man. Amen. Amen. So he says, first of all, in verse 6, he says to God, "Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open." Tell your neighbor, God doesn't have ears. God doesn't have eyes. And then he repeats it in verse 11. He says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants." God does not hear, have ears. God does not have eyes. But he uses these physical human characteristics to give us an idea of what happens when God hears prayers that either he is in attuned to or prayers that are outside of his will. And so in a real sense, as I said on Wednesday night, God does us sometimes like your children do you when they don't want to hear what you have to say. You know how they do. They put the earbuds in their ears. They put the earphones on. Amen. And I'm just convinced that because some of our prayers are so outside of the will, the word, and the way of God that sometimes God has his Beats by Dre on. He ain't hearing a thing you got to say. Because it's outside of his will. Is there anybody here this morning who you don't just want God to hear you? You need God to hear you pray. And let me inform somebody who's waiting for trouble to come to pray. Don't wait for trouble to come to pray. You better have an open channel with God before the bottom falls out. You better have an open line to God before the trouble comes, before your children start acting crazy, before you have trouble in your marriage. You better have a little talk with Jesus. The Bible says that man ought to always pray. The Bible tells us that we ought to pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but when I pray and talk to God, I want him to recognize my voice. Do I have a witness today? Now, the foundation for understanding the type of prayer that God answers lies in this fact, and it is this, because in our text, Nehemiah is the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. And Artaxerxes, if you know anything about him, he was a bad boy. If you don't know anything about him, the movie 300 is, you know, kind of fantastical, if that is a word, not exactly true to life, but there is a depiction of King Artaxerxes in the movie 300. This tall, looked like he about 9 feet tall. Y'all remember in the movie, he rolls in on this chariot, and he's got earrings, like some of y'all got earrings in his nose and everywhere. Amen. And he's a ugly, evil force. And so Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer, but he discovers that his people, the children of Israel, that remnant of people who have been left back in Israel, they're suffering. As a matter of fact, he gets the report that the walls have been torn down, that there's hunger and all kind of problems, and Nehemiah feels compelled to go back and help his people. Can I throw in here parenthetically that if God blesses you, don't forget where you came from? Can I throw in here that if you get a paycheck away from poverty, don't get so high-minded that you stop speaking to folk on welfare? Don't get so high-minded, amen, that now just because you don't qualify for the EBT or whatever it's called, amen, that you ought not look down on folk who still need some assistance. I wish, amen, I could get a word to some of my conservative friends in Congress, amen, that just because you're a millionaire now doesn't mean that you need to neglect the folk who are still scratching the surface to make a living. Is there anybody here who, after God has elevated you, after God has promoted you, you haven't forgotten where you came from? Amen. See, that bothers me about some church folk, because there was a time when you didn't have but one suit to wear, and now you got two or three closets full of suits, and you won't come to church. Is there anybody here that's so thankful to God after all you've been through, after how far he's brought you from, that if ever there were a time you needed to worship him, if ever there were a time you needed to give him praise, come on, you know you didn't really qualify for that job, but God looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs. He elevated you. You've been places now you never thought you would have been. You ought to come up in here on Sunday and give God some praise. Because the foundation to everything else I'm going to say this morning is having a right relationship with God. Before we talk about the type of prayers that God answers, you need to know that before that, you need to have a right relationship with God. You need to love him intimately. Amen. As a matter of fact, God ought to have priority over your husband. God ought to have priority over your wife. God ought to have priority over your children. God ought to have priority over money. As a matter of fact, you ought to reach a place in your walk with God that you can say stuff like this: take my suit if you want to. Take these shoes if you want, but just leave me, God. As long as I've got Jesus, I don't need anybody else. You've got to have a right relationship with God. See, because God is not really interested in how eloquently you pray. Amen. It's funny sometimes when you hear folk who barely got an education praying in the King James English. Thou's and thus and amen, amen, in your prayer language. Now, you don't have to get all the subjects and verbs right to pray. Do I have a witness? As a matter of fact, if you live long enough, you're going to get in some situations where you can't put a good sentence together to pray. You're going to find yourself saying stuff like, Lord, help. Lord, deliver. Lord, save. Lord, have mercy. Do I have a witness here today? Amen. And y'all have heard me say before that when it comes to spiritual things, God ain't interested in the grammar. And thank God for our security ministry. They do a good job, and they are training themselves and all of that. And if somebody runs up in here with a gun, amen, I've said it before, if they come in here and say, I is going to shoot y'all, you're not going to be sitting there talking about he didn't use the right English. It's not supposed to be I is. He should have said, amen. You can figure that out if you want to. I'm going to be on my way. Do I have a witness today? So God is not interested in how eloquently you pray. He's not interested in our vain repetitions. He's not interested in the emotional intensity of our prayer. He's not interested in high volume. He's not interested in name it and claim it or any other religious hocus pocus. But when a person whose heart is right prays, God's ears are open, God's eyes are attentive, and God's hands are outstretched to answer their prayer. Relationship is number one. Let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, do you have a real, genuine relationship? Excuse me. Here's an anthropomorphism. Do you have a real genuine relationship with the man upstairs? Do you know him? Come on, help me preach this. Nudge your neighbor. Ask him, do you know him? Do you know him? Because before anything else, if you're going to get your prayer answered, you got to know him. You've got to know him. So the first point, and we dealt with this on Wednesday night, is that God answers sincere prayer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Amen. If you weren't here, then you find somebody who was here and get the rest of the information. But the first point, the first type of prayer that God answers is a sincere prayer. Now, only you and God really know if it's a sincere prayer. Do I have a witness today? Amen. Verse 2 tells us that while Nehemiah was fulfilling his official duties as the king's cupbearer, his brother showed up with some men from Judah, and I told you they found out about the trouble back home, and Nehemiah made up in his mind that I am going to get help for my people. As a matter of fact, when he found out how bad things were back home, the Bible says that he wept and he mourned. He was sad. Come on, you ever been in a situation where you find yourself sad? But the good news is he didn't stay there. See, some of y'all get sad and you stay sad. You get depressed and you stay depressed. A great musician down in New Orleans this past week committed suicide. His mother passed, his grandmother passed, his aunt passed, and he felt he couldn't make it. Now, let me tell you something. If you're singing for Jesus, if you're preaching for Jesus, if you're working for Jesus, amen, we ought to have enough strength. We ought to have enough backbone, amen, that no matter what falls away, no matter what happens, amen, is there anybody here who knows that with God I can make it? I know y'all laugh and snicker at me when I get to singing that song, I'll Make It, but you just don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Amen. I would sing it every Sunday if I could. And I know it don't sound all that good, but baby, when I think about where the Lord has brought me from, when I think about some of the rocks and arrows that have been thrown my way, but in spite of what the enemy meant for evil, God worked it out for my good. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to make it. If I can't fly, I'll run. If I can't run, I'll walk. If I can't walk, I'll crawl. But I'm going to make it. You've got to pray. And so what Nehemiah does, he weeps, he cries for a moment. But the Bible says in verse 4 that he prayed. And then verse 5 tells us what he prayed. Amen. And the reason we know he was sincere, as I said Wednesday night, is because of what happens between verse 4 and verse 5. Now, if you look at it, most of y'all have closed your Bibles. But between verse 4 and verse 5 is the proof that he was sincere. What happens between verse 4 and verse 5? Now, those of you who were here Wednesday night, come on, give the answer. What happened between verse 4 and verse 5? Nothing. Amen, amen, amen. He didn't let anything distract him from praying. He didn't, once he found out the situation and that he needed help from God, he didn't let his boys, he didn't let his homegirls, he didn't let anybody distract him from the answer that he needed, and that is a little talk with Jesus. See, we mess up because when we get in trouble, when we find ourselves in bad situations, we go to everybody but the only somebody that can really help us. Do I have a witness today? He prayed. He prayed. I told you on Wednesday night that God wants us to have childlike dependence. He wants us to really lean and depend upon him the way children lean and depend upon their parents. Now, that's the first point. You've got to, amen, pray sincerely. But here's the second point, the type of prayer that God answers. God answers reverent prayer. Reverent prayer. Reverent prayer. I remember when I was in high school, I had a few friends from other parts of town who called their parents by their first name. Amen. They had that kind of, you know, but I wish I would. I said I wish I would. Now, we called our daddy, most of us called him Big Willie, but see, if somebody, I heard somebody say, you know, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but just get the right adjective in front of it. And let me leave that alone. Amen. And so we called our daddy Big Willie because affectionately to us, he was bigger than anything that could come up. He was bigger, amen, than any of our enemies. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I had a problem with one of my community friends, and bullying didn't just start yesterday. Bullying was happening back then. And this one fellow would bully me all the time. And so one day my daddy called the bus driver and said, Mr. Page, when you get to the house, just wait for me. And so the bus got to the house, amen, and there comes my daddy on the bus. Now, y'all can't do this stuff now, but my daddy came on the bus and grabbed that fella by his shirt and lifted him up where his head was up on the ceiling of the bus, had him up there and said, now you mess with Joe Boy again, you're going to have to deal with me. And I want you to do this. Go tell your mama, tell your daddy, and anybody else you want to tell that Big Willie said it. See, you can't appreciate that, but is there anybody here who knows that you serve a God, amen, who's your father, amen, who's bigger than every problem that will come your way when your enemies and your haters get on your trail? He's the kind of God who says, I'll make your enemies a footstool. I wish somebody could celebrate the fact that we serve that kind of God. Now, how can you not reverence a God like that? He's worthy of our reverence. And in our text, when you look at verse 5, look at what Nehemiah says. He says, and I said, O Lord God of heaven. See, before you ask God for anything, you better learn how to worship him. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. He went to the Lord carrying a heavy burden. It was so heavy that it caused him to sit on the floor weeping and mourning for many days. But Nehemiah didn't rush into God's presence with requests, with petitions, with supplications. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even mention the thing that led him to pray until verse 11. Instead, he begins his prayer with words of worship. Look at what Nehemiah recognized about God. We're talking about reverence. First of all, he recognized the transcendence of God. He says, Lord God of heaven. Amen. In other words, God is not beholden or confined to this realm. You ought to be glad you got a God like that. You ought to be glad that you serve a God that the rain can't rain him out, that fire can't burn him out, that trouble, amen, can't depress him out. Is there anybody who's glad that you serve a transcendent God? Amen, amen. As a matter of fact, God ain't even caught up in time. Time don't move God. God ain't, you looking at your watch, but God is not worried about what time it is. He's a God of eternity. That's why we say stuff like, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on Kairos. Amen. Kairos. Hora. That's the Greek and the Hebrew word for time. One of them means the most opportune time. And the other word means the appointed time. See, God knows when to show up. And I don't care, I don't know how you feel about it, but whenever he shows up, I know it's going to be all right. So he recognizes that God is transcendent, but secondly, he recognizes the majesty of God. Look at what he calls him, the great and awesome God. Now, you can't say that unless you've had the Lord to work some stuff out for you. The great and awesome God. You can't say that unless you've been in some situations where you tried to fix it. You got all your posse, you know, you got friends in high places and all of that. You called on all of them and they couldn't fix it. You found yourself in a situation and God was the only one who could step in and work it out. Come on, how many of you worship him by saying he's a great and awesome God? Woo, he's an awesome God. But he reverences God also in another way because he recognizes the faithfulness of God. Look at what he says. He says, this God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. I submit to you that God answered Nehemiah's prayer because it was reverent, because it was worshipful. In other words, it was God intoxicated. Anybody ever in here ever been just intoxicated by God? Woo, ain't nothing like it when the Holy Spirit just consumes you with Holy Ghost power and Holy Ghost fire. It'll take you into another place. Give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. He reverences God. This is the God that put the wet in water, the green in grass. This is the God. Oh my, that put the moo in the cow and the bark in the dog and the baa in the sheep. This is the God that kneeled down on the scoops of eternity and scooped up a lump of clay and made man in his image. Come on, how many of you learned to reverence him? He's worthy of our reverence. God answers sincere prayer. God answers reverent prayer. But then another thing we discover is that God answers honest prayer. Verses 6 through 10. Look at it. Look at it. Verse 6 moves to this next major aspect. Because Nehemiah delays mentioning the specific thing that led him to pray. Instead, after worshiping God, he begins to deal with the things that were standing between him and God. Verses 6 through 10, he confesses, amen, not only the children of Israel's sins, but he put an eye in there. Because, you know, some of us, we say, you know that scripture that says, all have sinned, we say y'all have sinned and come short. But the scripture really, amen, am I right? It says all have sinned. That means not just pastor slipped up, amen. That means that everybody up in here has slipped up. And Nehemiah confesses his sin to God. He says, the children of Israel have sinned. My family has sinned. I have sinned. Verse 7 says, we have acted very corruptly against you. And verse 8 confirms, he reminds God of what God reminded him and the children of Israel. God had already told them that if you get out of line with my will, I'm going to scatter you. Amen. And doesn't God tell us the same stuff? If we don't walk in his will and we're going to get in trouble, if we, amen, do our own thing, we're going to find ourselves in a fix. And so Nehemiah, he's honest in his prayer. He doesn't go to God like some of us go to him like all our stuff is clean. Amen. He doesn't go to God the way some of us go to God and act like we've never messed up. You got to be honest. Can I tell you why you can be honest with God? Amen. Number one, he already knows. I said he already knows. Amen. 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 He knows about the lie you told. He knows about the mistake you made. He knows about your, you know, nobody in the church knows it, but God knows you cuss a little on the side. He knows. Amen. He knows you have a drink or two, three or four. But what I love about God, he ain't gonna tell nobody. See, in this life, y'all, you gotta be careful. Y'all got, it's too much moving up here now. Y'all gotta sit down. The word is going forth, and I expect y'all to be in order, all right? Pastor loves you, but we do things decently in order. Amen? All right, all right. Y'all keep it together. Praise God. I love him, darling. I love you. Amen. Go on to the bathroom. Mama said you can go. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. I said mad day comes down here. You got to be careful who you tell your business to. So you better be careful. You tell your business to. Because folk will get mad at you and put all your...
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.